Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Isn't that incredibly powerful, hey? And for so many of you who, I know there's a whole number of you that were here from right at the beginning, and man, we honor you today. You know, I get to come in on the tail end of this only the last few years because so many of you have paved the way and have created and left a legacy for people like me as well. But as well, you know, for those of you who've come here, you know, I left a church as well that I spent 19 years at leaving a legacy. But I can leave with joy knowing that the same thing there, that God is moving and will continue to always move in a place. Hey, so we all get to leave a legacy. And so today we're going to hear from a few incredible men and women of God. And I'm going to invite our panelists up to the stage. So guys, you can come on out. We've got Pastor Charles Waller, retired pastor, CFO, mighty, mighty man of God. We've got Kim Robertson. You can take your seat, Charles. We've got Celine Teo and Mike Smith. Each one of these mighty men and women of God have left a legacy and continue to leave. And, you know, I honour them, and you get to hear a bit from them in just a moment of what all this represents to them. But each one of them have got their own story, their own testimony. And I know that every single person out here has their own testimony and story as well. So for our online family as well, there's so many of you who are in places that maybe at some stage we will have a nation's campus at one stage, but you know, you never know what God can do in your situation and your place as well. So we shout out to you today as well. So, hello, how are we? We good? Comfy? Couch is comfy? It's family time. We're nice and squished up on the three-seater couch. Oh, those smiles mean they love it. It's good. So I've got a few questions that I'm going to ask each of our panelists here today. And so we're going to hear their hearts and their truth and what God is sharing and revealing to them. And so first up, I want to ask, Charles, why don't you share with us what legacy means to you?
Thanks, Pastor Rick. To understand why I'm so passionate about legacy and passing it on to next generations, you have to understand where I've come from. Yeah. You see, I came from a Brethren church. I didn't believe in the Holy Spirit. I didn't believe in speaking in tongues. Women were silent in meetings, which is probably a good thing. But I was very, you know, confined to who I was. And I said one day, you know, I used to call you people holy rollers, and you know, I think if you're speaking in tongues, you're demon possessed, you know. So one day I said to God, there must be something more. Yeah. And I was in a prayer meeting with some friends in it who come from the Brethren Church, and I had a radical experience where God just changed me there and then. Like Paul on the road to Damascus. I was no longer the same person. My wife was horrified at what happened to this normal person. I was speaking in tongues. I was healing people. I was listening to this voice in my head, the Holy Spirit talking to me what to do. Wow. That I'd never heard from before. Wow. It was an amazing and awesome experience that I didn't deserve. Yeah. Understand that. I would be like Paul. I criticized his church. And why God did it, I don't know. But I knew God had to change me to become... See, I was a quiet person. I wouldn't talk to people about the Lord. Yeah. And now I can't stop talking to people about the Lord. Yes. So I have to leave a legacy. Yeah. Come on. I have to tell these God stories that what happened to me, to future generations and to our own generation. Yeah, yeah, otherwise, yeah. People think that Acts only happened in Acts. Yeah. It doesn't. Yeah. If it happened to me, it can happen to anybody.
Yeah. Come on.
And so I need to tell my God stories to my grandchildren. Yeah. And they say, come to granddad, tell me a God story. Aww. And these are the things that change generations. If we stop telling the God stories or sharing our testimony, we each have a testimony. Yes. Yes. If we stop doing that, then the next generation is going to be like Solomon's generation. Yeah. There'll be nothing to follow on with. Yeah. There'll be no legacy. Yeah. And that's why I'm so passionate to share this to people and say, listen, there's more in your life. Can you imagine a church where everybody is doing, following their destiny.
Come on.
And that's because people are sharing their legacy with another person.
Yeah.
What a powerful church that would
be. Yeah, so good.
That would be the church on fire. Yeah.
Come on.
And I want to tell you, the best person you can be is the person who God created you to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you'll be that person who will set the world on fire.
Yes.
And you'll set the next generation on fire.
Amen.
Never change who you are.
Yeah.
So share your testimony, share your legacy with another person.
Preach, preach.
I've got the microphone.
Yeah, maybe that was a bad idea. No, we love it. It's so incredible. Hey, such incredible wisdom. Kim, why don't you share with us what legacy means to you?
I firmly believe that legacy is all God's idea. From the very beginning of time to the end of time, it is completely God's idea. The way that he finds each one of us, he goes looking, he searches the earth for you, for anybody online, for the person in the front row to the person at the back row. There was a time and a season where God searched for you by name. Mark Wallace, he searched for you. Yeah. And that is our God. He is all about you and I. He is the God that searches across the globe. His eye never leaves you. He doesn't throw not one of us away. Yeah. No matter how far we are from him, no matter how close we are, he knows us intimately. He knows the hair on your head.
Yeah.
He knows every single thing about us. And you know what? He never gives up.
Yeah.
That's God's legacy to us. God's legacy to us is that he is an extraordinarily good God.
Yeah.
Every day, every moment of every day. When you're in the doldrums, when you're in that sinking pit where you just feel like, I will never see the light of day, he's there.
Come on.
He's there. It's one of our family core values is that he is a good God.
Yes.
And our story is that we want everybody to know that he is a good, good
so
God.
Good.
Unending, yeah. Unrelenting. Yeah. He searches for you. He will never give up on you. That is God's legacy. Yeah. That is God's legacy.
Amen. Amen. Mike, why don't you share with us?
Yeah, cool. So just the word legacy, I mean, to me, it means it's something that's inevitable. The life that we lead will have legacy in it. We will experience legacy, and we will give legacy to those around us, to our family and friends and everyone. That can be good or that can be bad.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we acknowledge, you know, there are experiences of legacy that are not good.
Yeah.
But that's not God's heart. And, you know, I align to, you know, Kim and Charles are saying about godly legacy. God does want to provide his legacy and his purposes in people's lives. And so despite whatever happens in our, you know, experience of legacy, we have the opportunity to be part of his legacy. And I think, you know, of my own life and where I stand today, and, you know, I think about my parents and the legacy that they have provided. Well, they're still here, so they're still providing it to me. And really, you know, they, right from an early age, they're sowing into my life. They're building me up. They're encouraging me. They're teaching me. They're correcting me a lot. But they really have, you know, shown me the path to a godly life, you know, living with, you know, God as the center, bring us to church, make sure that we, you know, act the right way and understand why we act that way, and just showing us godly principles right from an early age. And that's the legacy I have. So that's my experience, and I'm thankful for it. And then there's the legacy that I potentially can lead, and that's the scary thing. But you know, I think that legacy itself is not something to chase, but it's really the potential to serve God's purposes, where, yeah, you know, if we just link our heart with God's, and he will do the great thing that is legacy. I think that's just one of his many benefits in our lives, is that he provides us the opportunity to be part of his story. You know, I look after my kids, help them to know Jesus.
Yes.
I serve in my church, and in my workplace, I bring a sense of purpose into that. And all through that, you know, I believe that all the people that I touch have the opportunity to experience that legacy of Jesus, yeah, in my life.
Yeah. Amen. Celine, what does legacy mean to you?
Yes. I think legacy, to me, it means actually like actively making a choice to let something live and for something to actually fruition into something and like not letting it die. Yeah. So like, I don't know, like my parents could have put the pin in it whenever they wanted, you know, like you actually have the choice to what legacy you want for your future kids. Like that's crazy to me. It's an active choice to whether or not you want something to grow into something amazing or not. So I think, yeah, legacy to me is actually like letting something live continuously. And I want the name of Jesus to live on in my generational family. So, yeah.
Yeah, so beautiful. And something you said to us earlier was, you know, that, you know, legacy is not just a financial thing, is it? It's spiritual and physical as well. And so each one of us, it's not just based on the finances. And, you know, each one of these people have been incredible examples in this whole space. I mean, Charles retired now. Kind of, you know, but he's an incredible man, an incredible husband and grandfather. You're a financial controller for many years. You're a pastor for many years. You've left a legacy, you know, and continue to build on that. You know, Kim as well, you run your own business, incredibly successful. You run your family and, you know, you always got time to serve and build the house. And, you know, Mike as well, you know, extremely busy in a workspace, you know, investment banker, very busy in the financial sector, yet still has time to serve here in church and in our kids' ministries and be a parent as well and, you know, as well, run our nation's builders as well on the side. And Celine's so busy serving and loving on our youth and our young people and sort of works here as well as our receptionist on staff, but always willing to give out. So each one of these people are active and continuing to build a legacy for those around them, hey? Celine, I wanted to ask you this one. What does it mean to you to exist in a community of faith where mothers and fathers of the faith have gone before you?
Yeah, I think to me it means just like having hope and like strength beside me. I can think of so many people in this church and so many people that have passed by in my life where they have shared stories with me, like Teresa and Craig Hunter. Like Auntie Doris and Pastor Jin, like Auntie Cindy So, all of my mum's like old friends and stuff, you know, they, all their stories that they've sowed into me in their prayers, it's actually like left a dent in my heart that I can't get rid of. Like, and their faith actually gives me hope for when I feel so hopeless. Like as a young person, sometimes I feel like the world's against me, you know, like why me? But it's like, you know, all of these other people, you know, they've gone through it. They understand. And like hearing their stories, you know, Teresa inviting me into her home, sharing how, you know, she's raised up her 5 boys and stuff, you know, it gives me hope. It actually gives me strength. Yeah. So yeah, that's what it kind of means to me.
Awesome. So good. Mike, I'm going to claim you and the younger one as well because we're the same age.
I'll take
age,
it.
So
yeah. Amen.
Why don't you share on that as well? What mothers and the fathers in the faith have gone before you means to you?
Yeah, well, I have 2 things, gratefulness and responsibility. So I really am grateful for what we have today. And, you know, we saw the video. There are many that have gone before us and served and sacrificially given their time, their efforts, their money, and their faith into this community to build it up. There was the decision of the Perth Christian Life Center, a faith-filled church, to bring out some of their best in Pastor Ken and Chrissy and sow them into the city of Melville with a small, committed bunch of people. And really, that group, you know, of 30-odd people sowed faithfully and really, you know, served wherever the need was, as it was said on the video, that they would see, and look what they've seen over 17 years, that many, many people have come to experience the love of God because of that legacy. So, yeah, I'm grateful for it. And the sense of responsibility is that we all stand here today because of that sowing. And really, there are so many more people that don't know the love of God. And we have been given a platform and opportunity to really reach out in faith and to, you know, stand on the works and the platform of the people that have come before us, the mothers and fathers of the house, and for our children and for our communities to reach out with that same love and see many more people experience the love of God. So that's the responsibility part.
Amen. Charles, why don't you share with us what it means to you to be in an environment with a flourishing next generation?
That's an older person question, isn't it?
That's only because I want to push it to her.
Look, I love serving on the door on Sunday mornings and being out there greeting people, because what you see coming through is young families with little kids. You see older people like myself coming through. You see the young people coming through. You see the young adults coming through. And what it speaks to me is that we've got a church here that's full of all different generations.
Yes.
All different generations. And they're coming through the doors to worship God, the same God that I'm going to worship. And I get excited in my spirit when I see my grandchildren down the front worshiping God with a reverence and heart, because it excites me in my spirit that we're in a generational church as an older person. But it also tells me that God hasn't finished with me yet either. And, you know, you go to some churches that are just mainly older people and there's no life. There's no enthusiasm. There's no life of the Spirit flowing through. And where there's young people in different generations, there is life. There's excitement. There's people being saved. And it tells us older people that God hasn't finished with us yet. It's not about age. It's about, you know, we can give into that next generation. They need us as much as we need them. And that's what I've found, being, you know, an older person. They need us just as much as we need them. They need our maturity, the experiences that we've had in Christ. And we need their excitement to come alive. Right? So that, to me, it's so vibrant to be here. I long to come to church. You know, I can remember in the days gone past where you'd go to church and you'd, for a 6 o'clock meeting, you had to be there at 5 o'clock to get a seat. You know, God is a passionate God, and he wants us to be passionate too.
So good.
Amen?
Amen.
So I want to speak to you older people out there. Listen, God hasn't finished with you yet.
Yeah.
You've got a responsibility. You've got a responsibility in this church to be excited about God and pass that excitement and experiences that and the wisdom that you have into the younger generation. Amen?
Amen. Awesome. So good. Kim, do you want to...
Sorry. Get a bit excited about this stuff. It's so good. So good. For me, it is the joy and the responsibility as well. Seated in that, along with Charles, I would say that the joy is, I often serve on the door with Charles, and we absolutely love it, because you just see these little guys coming in. You see the old, you know, somebody coming in with a stick. And that multi-generational church is something that is at the very heart of God, in that we see that it brings life, it brings joy. And you see the craziness of the poor parents struggling with so many kids, trying to get them signed in. And but isn't that the joy? Isn't that the joy? And I think the understanding that we are all...
Yeah, we call it joy. Yeah.
Of course. I've been there, I've done it, so it's fine. But it's so wonderful watching that whole process, because all of us are in a process. We are all walking through the journey of life. There's not one of us who've skipped that. You know, there are all things that at different stages. So for me, the responsibility then is, what am I going to do with my story? What am I going to do with, am I going to be mute? Am I going to not tell my story? Am I going to be brave to share some of the sadnesses in my life, the things that I didn't grow up with in a godly family? I had a grandmother who stood and taught me to pray. I am eternally grateful for her. If it wasn't for her, she was the remnant of her generation. Wow. And I am to this day so grateful that she was there, because then I became one of the little ones that trotted into church, who was taken to church by somebody else. I didn't have a parent who took me to church. Somebody else took me to church. And I think for me that is something that resonates, in that keep our eyes open. Let's look for those. Look for that next generation. Yes. Find them and say, come along. Let's do this as a together thing. Let's open our hearts and gather. Because that really is the heart of God. For that next generation.
Good. Mike, do you want to share with us why you feel it's important to be planted here long term?
All right, I had to look this up because planting is not my forte. So I got a verse, actually. Because I think it, God explains it best in the Bible. Psalm 92, 12 to 14 says, "Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of the Lord. They shall still bear fruit in old age." Pastor Charles. Amen.
And older. You know, he's still one of the young, yeah.
"They shall be fresh and flourishing." And so God uses a lot of imagery about gardening, which I, you know, I try to stay away from, but really, I think that really speaks to his heart for his church. And, you know, God wants people to experience his love. He has the Great Commission for more and more people to experience it, and he has it through his church, and he calls us essentially his garden. You know, in John 15, he talks about he is the vine and we are the branches, so there's even more about, you know, being planted in into his kingdom purposes, and we really get to do that through the church. So without the imagery, I think, you know, what does that speak to? It speaks to really being committed in his house, making deep roots. Sorry, I went back to the imagery. You know, it's really the opportunity in a church to be pastored, to have people in your lives that are such good friends that, you know, they will minister to you, they will correct you, they will speak into your lives. And I really do believe that, you know, as God's heart is for his house, that if we connect ourselves in that deep way into his house, that, you know, we are part of his greater purpose. And that is why it's good to be planted in the house of the Lord.
So good. Kim, you've got a great response to this too, so why don't you just share with us?
I had to make some notes because I wasn't quite sure how this would go. I believe that we are a spiritual family. So all of us are planted here for a reason. I think there's no mishap that you're sitting in the seat that you're sitting in. And the opportunity for us to share together and know that we're actually planted in here for a good reason. I think there's a sense that we need to build kingdom together.
Yeah.
We need to be legacy builders. Yeah. We are planted here not just because. You don't come in on a Sunday morning just because. God has called you and we have a reason to be here. So I think there's purpose. And I'd love for each one of us to get to a point where we understand the purpose that we have in coming into the house of God. Yeah. So as much as we are physical beings, we are spiritual beings, but we need to be in the space where God wants us to be.
Yes, so good. And I love that passage. Psalm 92 is an incredible passage in the whole area of being planted in the house of God. It's a beautiful scripture and it is beautiful imagery there. And I encourage you to read that and let that be, you know, a foundation for you as you consider yourselves what it means to be planted in the house of God. Celine, I want you to answer, what does it mean to love the house of God generationally?
Yes. To love the house generationally, I reckon, like, that to me, that means, like, not neglecting or not looking down upon any generation. So, I hated kids' church. I grew up in kids, and I'm not going to lie to you, like, I really disliked it. I didn't like any of the leaders. I didn't like any of the kids. Did not want to be there for one second. I hated it, but I went. Because
not here, right?
No, Celine. No, not here. I was here.
Just to clarify you guys. That. Of course.
But yeah, like, and when I came to Nations, I kind of had that resentment and that hatred towards kids' ministry. Like, every time I walked past kids, I'm like, ugh, what Shimin and Jardina are doing, it's pointless. What a waste of energy. Like, sow into the youth, that's where the fruit is. But that's genuinely what I thought, and I'm getting somewhere. But, like, I talked about it with my good friend Shimin. She serves at youth and kids. And I was like, man, like, I don't understand. Why do you serve in kids? Just, like, choose youth. Like, what's the point? And she's just like, yeah, I understand where you're coming from, Celine. Like, I think, you know, in youth ministry, it's easy to see the fruit because, you know, our kids are maturing. People get saved left, right, and center, like, every Friday night. Whereas kids, it's like sometimes it can go over their head sometimes or and you need a bit more patience with it. But she shared with me her heart towards it, and she said that, like, she said that she's sowing seeds that she may not even see fruition for herself.
And that was so inspiring to me. And God actually revealed to me, like took this huge blindfold off my face and was like, the whole reason why you never doubted God, the whole reason why you believe in Jesus till this day and had no doubt that he was real is because of Kids Church. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, Lord. Jardine is amazing. Like, I love kids. So yeah, like, and that's the same for every generation. Like looking at Charles, looking at Pastor Chin and stuff, you know, like refuel, don't look down upon evergreens. Don't look down upon young adults because every generation has purpose and has meaning and actually builds the kingdom of God in some sort of way. And that was like a huge revelation for me. So yeah, I think that's what it truly means to like, to love generation, like that's why we're part of this church and stuff. So yeah.
Awesome.
We could do with some more kids leaders.
No, thanks.
Yeah, Celine, now you got to do a promo run for kids leaders. All right.
We actually do need more leaders, so come.
All right, I want to flip across to our. There's so much content here, but I want to go to this last question, and I want to hear from each of you in this. Why are you so passionate about building our future? And I want to ask you first, Charles, because you've got an incredible story that for 23 years you were in Perth CLC, which is a church that planted nations. You're on the board and eldership, and you even share that you were on the board when the decision was made to plant Nations Church. This man was part of the decision process to plant that seed which we are now living in. So, Charles, why don't you share with us why building our future is so important to you?
Thanks, Pastor Rick. Yeah, look, we've only been to Nations Church for about 4 years, and we came here from PCLC because our children are worshiping here and our grandchildren are worshiping here. And I wanted to be in a church where we're worshiping generationally. Yeah. And that was important to me. But as Pastor Rick said, yes, I was at Perth Christian Life Centre for 23 years as an elder and a board member. And Pastor Chin was there too. That we made a decision that we needed to plant a church at. Yeah. A small group of people made a decision that we needed to plant a church that could reach a generation and reach a people that we couldn't reach. Wow. And the Holy Spirit spoke to us about Pastor Ken and Pastor Chrissy to sow them out. To sow them out with a group of people, and we took up a building our future to sow them out.
Wow.
To reach another generation that we couldn't reach. And I can't believe that I'm sitting here today, 17 years later, and seeing what I'm seeing today that came from an offering 17 years ago.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? Because a vision was cast. People grabbed hold of the vision and gave to a vision to reach another generation for Christ. And now, today, we sit here building our future again in Nations Church to reach another generation for Christ.
Amen.
You know, God is only interested in the generations. He's only, if we didn't do that 17 years ago, you wouldn't be here today.
Yeah.
If people didn't sacrificially give 17 years ago, you wouldn't be here today.
Yeah.
Think about that. See, when Pastor Ken casts the vision, you have to capture that vision in your heart because that's what you're giving to. You're giving to a vision that will change the next generation. It's okay for us to enjoy the foundation of what it is now, but it's something else to enjoy, to give to something that you might never see.
Amen.
And I'm so grateful I can sit here today and stand here today in this church seeing what God has done. And I've seen, you know, over the 23 years at Perth Christian Life Centre, I've had many building our futures, as you can imagine. But in every time I've seen God do something miraculously, what little or what much people have got. It's more about being involved. being part of something and being part of that vision to cast for the foundation for the future. Amen.
So good. Amen. Kim, do you want to share with us what building our future means to you?
Yeah. I think we feel, firstly, to be incredibly grateful to sit under a leadership that actually values the future, that values what we're building, has vision for what we're building. So, Pika and Chrissy, thank you. The fact that you guys stood and have stood to see what we all have the privilege of living in today is phenomenal. We are in a building today that has allowed us to gather, that is owned, it's not rented. That we're building another building that is going to accommodate how many generations? Can you imagine? I reckon we're going to outgrow it, but how many generations? Your grandchildren, your children. How incredibly privileged are we that they have stewarded so well what God has put in their hands. For us to gather, we need buildings. We could be in a tent and we could have the trailer back, but instead we have leaders who actually are leading us into understanding what it is to build generations. We freely give our time of our finances to sow into that next generation. Would you join that journey with us? Would you choose? It's your choice. Would you choose legacy?
Come on.
Would you today make a stand? You may be the first one in your family to choose legacy for your generation. Are you going to be the one to stand and say, I'm going to stand for the next generation? All of us, perhaps somebody in your family, you haven't got a remnant that gave to you. Are you going to be the one to stand up and start the legacy, to see the future come, to see people saved and set free and live?
Amen. So good. Celine, why are you passionate about building our future?
I'm passionate because I want my kids to experience everything that we're experiencing right now. I don't want the name of Jesus to die out, like I said before. And yeah, I want to further the kingdom of God, no matter how far, if I have to look into the future. So, yeah.
Amen. Mike, do you want to add anything else there?
A little snippet. Look, we're in immense opportunity here. Just look at COVID and all the stuff that's happened. And despite that, so many people connecting with God's church, the growth that we've seen, the reach that we've got into online and all of that. We are about to plant, a campus right in the heart of the city of Melville, in Playell Street, the build. And it's not just four walls and fancy seats and all of that. It's really an opportunity to be a light on a hill in this city with so many people that need to know about the truth of the love of Jesus. And that's the legacy that this church can leave in this community.
Yeah, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.